We're the travel agents coming to you with tips, tricks, interviews, and voyages by cruise. The travel agents bringing you the latest travel news.
Season 2 of the podcast. We are deep in it in our New England series.
Yes, New England. This is the last of a series that we're doing. We're only doing a series because I lived in the Pacific Northwest and I lived in New England for the better part of the last year, really. And we have a lot to talk about in these two regions. And yeah,
you're on both coasts. I want to throw a curveball at you.
Sure.
So 6 states make up New England. Can you name them?
Yeah, I can give it a go. Okay. Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Rhode Island.
Yes.
Delaware.
No.
All right. New Hampshire, Connecticut.
Yes and yes.
Vermont.
Yes.
What am I missing?
Did you say the one that we're doing?
Did I say Maine?
I don't know. Did you?
I don't know, listeners. Did I say it?
sorry. I forget. You said Rhode Island.
Yeah.
So it's Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You got them.
Maybe I meant to say New Hampshire and I didn't. I don't know.
I thought it doesn't matter. New Hampshire. So Maine is today's topic, and population 1.3 mil.
Wow.
You got some fun animals here that we don't see in Ohio.
Yeah.
We got puffins, whales, moose.
Meese?
And mooses just is not a word.
It is not. It's going to feel weird saying moose, but
you have 3,500 miles of coastline. Do you know the capital of Augusta?
Is it going to be Augusta?
How embarrassing. Do you know the capital of Augusta? Largest city is Portland, which you went to. I did not.
Mm-hmm.
Just quick, I remember first week of travel agent school. No, there is no school. It was literally my dad being like, all right, dude, to watch this YouTube video. No, but they're like, don't get the Portland airport codes mixed up.
Sure.
You don't want to send someone to the other side of the country.
Yeah, a little bit of a difference. Yeah.
Portland, Maine is PWM, as in Papa Whiskey Mike. And Portland, Oregon is PDX, as in Papa Delta X-ray. And did you know Maine was our country's 23rd state?
I did not, but that seems like it should be higher for some reason in my head. But no, okay, that's cool. 23rd.
So do you want to talk about this beautiful state?
Yeah, I do. We have a lot to talk about.
Here's three words to help you. Here's our defining words.
Brian, there's a lot to see in Maine, but one of the things that I didn't get a chance to see is actually our first defining word, which you had a lot to experience in.
It's called Acadia National Park. Wow, I'm really excited to talk about this later on in the episode.
Can you give us a little bit of information as to why you call it a defining word of Maine?
It's really nice. And I just, that's your teaser. Just stay tuned.
Stay tuned, I guess.
Next word, go for it.
Lighthouses. Maine is home to a lot of lighthouses. I think there's something around like 60, like six, something like that, just on the border. I mean, obviously it's going to be on the coastline. That was a dumb thing to say. But there are a lot of lighthouses, and you would think that after a while they would get redundant, but they don't. They're really beautiful. Each one is unique, and we have a lot to talk about individual lighthouses.
Do you think they're still necessary today with all the equipment?
That's a good question. So I've visited quite a few lighthouses in the last year, both on the West Coast and the East Coast, and I don't recall ever seeing anyone there other than to like work on it, like maintenance-wise.
Yeah.
But I think that was more for like restoration purposes as opposed to like...
Well, maybe that's the beauty of them. You have this structure with this light and then you don't really have to do anything. Last word is lobster.
Yeah, Maine lobster always comes into rotation, right? You go to Maine and people ask, did you have the lobster? Spoiler alert, Brian and I, we don't eat shellfish, so we can't give any recommendations as to like where the best places is for a lobster, but... We would be remiss to mention Maine and not mention lobster.
I hear it's nice.
Get butter?
Right. Well, that's what everyone says, that the butter is more delicious than the lobster.
Yeah. I remember
is that true?
Before I didn't eat lobster. I've had it once when I was like a kid.
Yeah.
and it did nothing for me. It didn't really taste like anything.
Lobster mac and cheese is big.
It is big. Yeah, I would assume because of the mac and the cheese.
Ooh. But overall, just seafood, we could probably say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the coast. Seafood as a whole.
Yeah, great seafood.
Sure. Water's freezing, so any any animal that doesn't mind frigid.
Yeah, the North Atlantic. Water. Yeah, you got some. Yeah, you're spoiled for choice here.
Yeah.
We got a lot of highs. Yeah. We got a lot of lows. Should we get into it?
Yes.
Sometimes things are good, sometimes they're bad too. It's highs, lows, coming to now, you.
Will, I was thinking it's appropriate that, I don't know when this will release, but we're recording this. The moment we're recording this, the leaves outside are gorgeous here in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I can only imagine how much more gorgeous they are in Maine.
Yeah.
So our first high is, I would say, fall foliage.
Yeah. You know, I can actually speak from experience here. I was here during the fall time last year in 2021.
Oh, jealous.
And it was really, really cool. I mean, that speaks for all of New England, but Maine is a very popular location for New Yorkers to actually like drive north and go up and see the fall foliage.
Well, and it's such a tourist, what word am I looking for? Opportunity? Option? I don't know. Where like there's like these fall foliage cruises that start in Boston or New York, and they actually go up all the way through Maine, down That's the right. St. Lawrence Canal into Montreal. Mm-hmm. And it's usually late September through October that you do these cruises. And there's bus tours as well, where you, again, start in Boston, mm-hmm. and you go up through Maine, do all the coasts, see all the beauty, and these are literally called fall foliage tours. I will say, it just kind of depends. Like, I've sent clients on these tours and cruises in late September, and they've come back and said, it was a little too early. Everything sure. was still green.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, and then I've sent people in late October, and they're like, well, we're kind of too late.
Okay.
So my should be a tip. Second or third week of October, I think that's the sweet spot.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If I remember correctly, it did seem like, yeah, second, third week, October, that was really the yep. popular time for fall foliage.
Ooh, another just little nugget to wet your whistle for my Acadia talk later is Kurt Dietrich Trail. Mm. This was one of the trails. It's named after this guy. I don't know anything about him, but it was like, imagine you put giant rocks on the side of a mountain and you like stairs and you just climb up them, like climbing okay. up giant stairs
yeah.
up a mountain with gorgeous views.
Wow.
And it just like really unique, but not just rocks, like slabs. Think of it like that.
Okay.
So to be continued.
That's awesome.
Will, what is Route 101?
Yeah, so Route 101 is not to be confused with the West Coast Route 101. Both are gorgeous scenic drives, but Route 101 in the New England side in Maine is a very popular drive for the coast. It's going to take you to all of these amazing lighthouses. Two of the ones that I really liked were the Nubble Lighthouse, which is south of Portland by, I want to say, 35 to 45 minutes. And then there's also the Portland Headlight Lighthouse, which is 15 to 20 minutes south of Portland. And it's also going to take you through this town in New Hampshire. So we're not going to talk too much about New Hampshire, but it's right on the border of Maine, right there, and it's called Portsmouth. Mm. And if you're going to do Route 101, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you either start or end in Portsmouth, because it's a really cool, beautiful town, beautiful coastal town, and all of the towns on Route 101 are going to be gorgeous coastal towns. And this is where you're going to see a lot of that, those rich senators that are living in New England area. They're going to be living on Route 101.
Oh yeah. Last high was Little Owl's Head, Maine. So the nearest city would be called Rockland, which
okay.
I want to say was 2 hours from Portland. So Rockland is just your trendy, it's like a Highland Square, right? But like, sure. Sorry, that's an Akron reference for anyone listening. But Rockland has all the needs that you would probably need in like a small town, like your local coffee shop, grocery stores, I don't know, laundromats, whatever. But like also like really good coffee shops. Did I just say coffee shops already? Food trucks is what I meant. Really good food trucks and like tons of art galleries. So if you're into art, there's something here. Very artistic towns I was getting, and probably with Portland too. Probably get a lot of that artsy feel. And the little town I sit in is called Owl's Head, and it's just like a charming town where there's cottages that overlook gorgeous parts of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think Maine as a whole has this essence of being like the sleepy beach coastal town, and all of Maine is like that. And it's just peaceful and gorgeous, and I don't know, Maine is really, really cool. I think a lot of the times people are like, you want to go to Maine? Man, it's worth it. Like, I know it's off the beaten path, and I know it's often forgot about, but Maine is a really, really, really cool state.
My buddy and I went to a Chinese restaurant, and we're just chatting with the waitress, and we're like, oh, she was Chinese, and we're like, cool. So, like, can I just ask, like, why you moved to Maine, you know? She's like, I came here because I'm an artist. Oh, I was like, oh, that's really cool. She's like, there's just no better, more beautiful outdoorsy, nature-esque things to paint than Maine, in her opinion. And she showed us some of her work. It was like really cool.
Wow.
It looked very Maine-centered, all of her work. And I was like, oh, this is a perfect place for you.
I completely get it, man. Like, I can definitely see why people, authors in particular, flock to Maine and the New England area to draw inspiration or just have that quiet time to be alone and like create. Because I think Maine is just exemplary when it comes to doing something like that.
Do we dare take our podcast studio to Maine to see if we get some inspiration? What if every podcast we had to take our podcast studio to that destination to record it?
That'd be great. Let's do it.
It'd be nuts. Nuts.
So we talked a lot about some highs. What are some of the lows that you experienced with Maine? Did you have any on your trip?
Well, just that like it was kind of far from everything. I mean, it's tough to get to. So just a little fact here. It's the only state of the continental 48 that only borders one U.S. state, right? It borders New Hampshire.
It does,
and
yes.
nothing else. So, I mean, if you're already in New England, I mean, it's probably not too bad of a drive. It just seems like whoever, and I recognize like I'm coming from the vantage point of Ohio.
Yeah.
But if you want to get there, it's just tricky.
It is.
The nice thing is though, you can fly into Boston.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Were you going to say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get a rental car and then up that beautiful coastal highway and I don't know, three, five hours, whatever, to different parts.
It depends on where you're going. You can get to Maine within 2 hours, but if you're taking the coastal route, you can do it in three, and you're going to go through Portsmouth.
I mean, there are airports. I don't want you to think like you can't get
definitely,
there.
Oh, definitely.
But I kind of look at it as a driving. Yeah. Think of it as like a driving trip. It's like, wow, whether you're coming from the Midwest or, I don't know, kind of anywhere, it's not really on the way to anything. It's at the end.
Yeah. Maine is very much a driving state. Like, I think if you fly in the middle of it, you're missing out on a lot.
Yeah,
I think one of the best options is to fly into Boston. And I guess we didn't really schedule this for tips, but I guess we're talking about tips right now.
Sure.
One of the best options is to fly into Boston, just because there's going to be a lot more direct flights to Boston.
A ton of rental cars,
and you're going to be able to see Maine from the ground up, from the very southern part all the way to as far as you want to go. And if anything, if you want to fly out of Portland, like afterwards, that's an option for you, but you're going to save some money.
You can do a day trip in Boston and listen to our Boston episode to get some ideas.
You should check out Boston. It's really, really cool. But I want to say one last thing, you know, in relation to all of that, you mentioned that it only borders New Hampshire. Now, don't get this mindset that there is a large distance between Maine and Massachusetts, because there isn't. It's a very small sliver of land. Good technically, it's bordering New Hampshire, but I mean, barely. Yeah. It's more so Massachusetts. Well,
it's also bordering Canada, so you could enjoy some Canada.
That's true.
What province would that be? Halifax. Ooh, what's over there?
There's Newfoundland and Labrador, but I don't think those are the ones.
What's the one that Montreal's in?
Quebec? No, that's completely wrong.
To be continued. Talk about your low.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So my low was actually Portland, Maine, which is the biggest city in Maine. And it's still pretty small. I think the population is something like 200,000. But it was a low for me because, man, this is really tough. It's honestly, funny enough, very similar to Portland, Oregon, mm-hmm. in that there were a lot of drug addicts on the street. And you could tell like the city wasn't doing anything to like combat that. And to be fair, when I went to Portland, Maine, I'm going sort of on like the tail end of COVID, like things are still, working their way into like opening up again. So a lot of the areas in Portland were closed down, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I went there when I was 11 or 12 years old, and I remember it being really, really cool. Mm-hmm. But going back as an adult, things had changed a lot from the last time I had visited, and I just felt a little let down. Okay. And that could have been just having like really high expectations. Also, I want to say I went in November, so not the best time to go to Maine as a whole. Very much the off season, you know, in every regard. It's not beach season. Yeah. It's not fall foliage season. Everyone's kind of like, hey, we're cold. We just want to stay inside. But
now you bring up a good point.
Yeah, Portland still has some really cool things to see. I recommend going to Commercial Street. That's going to be, funny enough, all the areas where you're going to see like commercial activity, your local mom and pop shops, restaurants, all those sorts of things. And there's also a section that's the old town, the old city of Portland. So you're actually going to be able to see some buildings from like the 1600s, some old banks, cobblestone streets, those sorts of things. So yeah, you're still going to be able to get some really cool like heritage and characteristics, but I don't know. I just felt let down, but I would go back to Portland, but in a high season to check
appreciate
it out.
Your honesty. The two Canadian provinces, Maine borders is Quebec and New Brunswick.
Oh, New Brunswick. Okay. Yeah. Go.
Ready for our tips and tricks.
From the travel agents.
The first thing is like when to go. I don't know. I mean, this is definitely, you're so far north, it kind of reminds me of Canada and a little bit of Alaska. Like, well, not really. No, not Alaska. Canada in the sense of like you very much have a tourist window. And the winter is harsh. It's brutal. So if you can go in the summer, it's going to be lovely. And if you can go in, like we just said earlier, early to mid-October, beautiful fall foliage.
Yep.
I guess I just want to really make this point clear. I've been twice in August.
Okay.
And I packed a bunch of shorts.
Yeah.
This is August. Should be the hottest month, right?
Nope.
I never wore the shorts.
Yeah, it's still pretty cold.
I wore jeans and jeans and t-shirts, and then some days like long sleeve shirts, and then at night always a sweater or jacket.
Was it like 60 degrees probably?
Yeah.
And the water is probably 40 to 50.
Zero.
Yeah, it's super cold. Super cold.
So cold.
But to that point, like in the off season, what we were really surprised in, again, in this particular instance, it was late October, early November, and we were on Route 101 taking my father-in-law along the route and showing him some of the beautiful parts of Maine off the route. And we ran into a little like beach area and the entire beach fronts are like just there's no one there besides like seals. We hit this one really popular area and it was all surfers, like super like intense, really into it surfers, like hippie vans and everything. Yeah. And they're all wearing wetsuits and they're having the time of their lives surfing in this area in Maine in the off season. So like sometimes like the off season to us and that tourist like perception of like fall and your stereotypical like beach season, granted, it's still not going to be like Florida. It's not even Virginia Beach. It's still pretty cold. In the off season, there's these opportunities for like surfers to go and get these beach fronts all to themselves and surf some really cool waves.
Cool.
Which is cool. Yeah.
We should hit before I go into my Acadia run, we should hit the other ones. Like, tell us about Kennebunkport.
Yeah, this is a really cool town. I had learned about it in a tour in Boston. Someone had mentioned that George Herbert Walker Bush, so Bush Sr., lives in Kennebunkport. I was like, okay, interesting. So I looked it up just kind of like out of why would you live in this like random town in Maine? And there was enough there that I was like, oh, this seems pretty cool. And it's kind of off Route 101. So you're going to like these high touristy areas. And Kennebec- Bunkport is actually a touristy area, but Kenny Bunkport is really cool. Like if you're looking for that really great seafood, if you're looking for, again, that sleepy like town feel, coastal sleepy town feel, Kenny Bunkport is just a really cool place like to go and like get off Route 101 and check out like a really cool town that has a lot of wealth and stuff there. So
nice. And then talk about animal watching.
Yeah, Maine has, I mean, it's a lot of nature, a lot less people in Maine than there is in Massachusetts and probably New Hampshire. And there's a lot of incredible moments for animal watching. You're going to have moose there. Now, you can't go any moose tours that I know of, but you can go on whale watching tours and get opportunities to see humpback whales, right fin whales, I think they're called, as well as the birds known as puffins. Those are those really small, cute. Yeah, super cute birds that you can often see, like, I mean, off the North Atlantic is really
well, they're
popular.
In Iceland, too. I just think it's kind of interesting. Iceland and Maine, they're kind of, I mean, not close geographically, but kind of.
Closer
than a lot of other states.
In the states, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think puffins seem to be, you know, working around the North Atlantic. So like the Faroe Islands, Iceland.
I wonder if puffins
Greenland, Ireland,
Greenland,
Maine.
Yeah.
I would imagine. Yeah.
This is our area. So interesting. Can I talk? May I talk about Acadia?
Please, man. You've been teasing it.
Tease. Acadia National Park is incredible. So just first some quick things. So like you need an entry pass to get there. If you're bringing a car, it's $30 per car. You should buy this online prior, though. I don't think it sells out, but also maybe it would. Go ahead.
I have a question. So coming from the Pacific Northwest, when I'm thinking national parks, I'm now thinking, oh, can I take my dogs there? Do you know if Acadia is dog friendly?
I don't know.
Can you I'll look it up. Yeah, thanks. You keep talking.
Okay. Cadillac Hill. This is really cool. This is that like super important lookout point that you'll see in all the postcards. New for 2021, though, you get like they're trying to limit the amount of cars that come up. So you pay $6, but you have to book it in advance and it's like a timed entry. So you get like an entry slot of 10 a.m., 11 a.m., et cetera. And then you get to go up during that time. You ready?
Yeah. So real quick, pets are prohibited on the following trails: Precipice Trail, Beehive Trail, Ladder Trail to Door Mountain, Beach Cliffs Trail, Perpendicular Trail, and Jordan's Cliff Trail. So some of the trails, which is like 100 miles of the trails, are available for pets.
Right on. So like chances are when you arrive at Acadia National Park, your GPS is going to take you to the visitor center. That's not bad. There's a lot of parking. There's restrooms. There's like great areas to fill up your water bottles. And there's a gift shop that's air conditioned, et cetera. But probably the best part about the visitor center is they have a whole bunch of guides that can tell you like, here's what you should do. This is what you like. Cause I just walk up to them like, listen, here's what I enjoy. What do you suggest? And they just tell me, and I prefer that. Yeah. Why not have an expert tell you? Right. But if you know what you're going to do, because like the amount of traffic going in there is going to slow you down.
For sure.
So I kind of if you know what you want to do ahead of time, then just go there and skip the visitor center. You're not like missing anything. So Acadia is on this 26-mile road. It's easy to remember 26 because of marathon, I thought.
Yeah.
But basically, it's like kind of like a big, like a loop. It's called the Park Loop Road, and it takes you around the entire national park. So that's an easy way. If you're trying to think, how big is it? Just think 26 miles in a big, giant loop. Everything inside it is the national park. But here's the kicker. It's a one-way road. So like if you miss your hiking pull-off, then you're stuck going around the entire loop and trying again.
Oh, man.
But there's this one saving grace where they put this one highway just right through the middle of it.
Okay.
So if you screw up and miss your pull-off, you can just kind of go to that highway, go back, and then try again.
Okay. Go to like the beginning of the loop?
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The loop's kind of more of an oval.
Okay.
From what I remember. So, but still it took, cause I totally did it and it still took forever, but, just annoying cause you can't just like put your car in reverse for so long. So here's like my favorite, here's the itinerary I did, which I loved it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I missed.
Sure.
but I hit a lot of the places you're supposed to see. So I started with Cadillac Mountain in the morning, and you pay $6 because that's required now, and you get a timed entry. Also, if you're big into photography, you do what's called the sunrise. You go up with the sunrise group, right?
Definitely.
And there's a very limited amount they allow up for the sunrise.
Wow.
And, oh, rumor has it, it's the first point of the U.S. to see the sunrise.
Oh.
Next, you would drive like 7 miles to this area called the Wild Gardens of Acadia, free parking. And so the trail I did was the epic trail, Kurt Dietrich's Climb. This is cool. This is cool. I have a bunch of GoPro footage. I hope we can put it to a video sometime, Will. Yep. Wink, yep. Wink. But this is definitely strenuous. Elevation gain is 955 feet. Distance is 7 miles. I just did a section of it, which took me like 1 hour up, 1 hour down. The trail is built by these massive like slabs of stone that were inserted to the mountain as like steps to ascend, you know, so think like Stairmaster, but outdoors. But it's a really impressive climb, and the view from the top is awesome. So by the end of that hike, you're going to be starving. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't pack a lunch, then go back and drive the 2.5 miles back to Bar Harbor to grab a bite to eat.
Yeah. Bar Harbor.
Baja. I'm not going to give you my restaurant recommendation yet because okay. That's really, this is just a quick lunch, right?
Yeah, right on. Yeah.
So after lunch, you're then going to drive 4.6 miles to what's called Sand Beach. Yeah, this is like, take a little siesta. It's like a shockingly white sand beach. Will, were you shocked at how like clear the water was and white the sand was?
Dude, like you're footage of it, like I was like, oh my gosh, so mad I didn't go to Acadia.
Put my GoPro underwater and you can see really clearly. It's like, oh my gosh, I feel like I could drink this water.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. So that was awesome. There's also restrooms there. One of the highest rated hikes in Sand Beach is like the Sand Beach to Otter Point. So that would be a good one. I guess it's an easy hike for the whole family, though the rocks can be slippery. So then, I'm going to be very clear here. You're going to make a quick stop. Notice I said the word quick, to Thunder Hole. All the tourist sites say you should do it, but I disagree. This would have been my low. I wish I would have put this for my low. I forgot.
Why is that?
It's only a 3-minute drive from Sand Beach, so very easy. You know, don't miss it. But basically, you hear these waves crashing into the cliff, and it makes a thunder sound.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, neat.
Neat.
Just see it once and get out of there. It's not like it's going to get way better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
If you really want that, go to... what's that other national park out west with the hole that Old Faithful?
Yeah.
Is that in, what's that a park called?
Yellowstone.
Thank you. So I'm nearing the end here. After Thunder Hole, you're going to drive 8.2 miles to reach Jordan Pond for like a really nice, beautiful stroll. But if you want a more strenuous hike, hike South Bubble Mountain and Bubble Rock. So at this time, you're hiked out, you're done, you are ready to go 6 miles back to Bahaba for dinner, and I need you to go to Geddes. Geddes is G-E-D-D-Y-S. Wow, really good food. This is right in downtown Bar Harbor, so great views. Parking is metered, so be prepared to pay for it, though they all take credit card, it seems. But you're just going to see tons of people strolling through downtown Bar Harbor. Very much like a walkable town, maybe the most walkable town I've ever been to, just because there's so much to see.
Little
parks, there's the water, there's people doing art, there's like great shops and all sorts of stuff. Pick up your t-shirt, your hoodie, and then of course make sure to bring home fudge for your family who stayed behind.
That sounds amazing. I think it's worth noting, where is Bar Harbor? How do I get there? How far away is it from Boston, or how far away is it from Portland? If you're visiting Maine from Boston, it's going to be about 4 to 5 hours depending on traffic and really the season. If you're driving from Portland, Maine, it's going to be about 2 to 2.5 hours away. So it's kind of like in the middle of nowhere, Maine, I would say. Sure. Like there's no major cities around, but it's going to be close to like the coast, and it's a really popular area, so there's going to be a lot to do.
And needless to say, for Maine, you need a car.
Oh my gosh, yes, yes, yes.
It's not really a times choice.
Yes.
Unless you're doing a bus tour, then.
Yeah, I guess that could work.
You're in a car.
I had a client who wanted to take his bike from the most northern part of Maine and take it, his motorcycle bike, all the way from the most northern part of Maine all the way down to the southern tip of Chile in South America. I was like, dude, that sounds amazing. And he got all the way down to, he went all the way down to Boston area.
Uh-huh.
And he got hit by a hurricane or something. Ooh. And like injured his leg.
Not good on a motorcycle.
Yeah. And just couldn't continue his trip. So I hope he was able to eventually do that.
Have you ever had the draw just to get a motorcycle?
Have
that?
Mm-mm, you?
I guess not. But I can see why it would be fun.
The open road, I guess, would be appealing. But like, I don't know.
Not for you.
Not worth the risk, I guess.
You'd prefer a Tesla.
Heck yeah, dude. Take a nap while I drive. No, I'm kidding. Or am I?
Ready for our standby items.
It's safety and other info. It's standby items. Here we go.
So a good friend of mine was actually born in Maine.
Oh, really? Who?
His name's Will.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. Actually, Will was just talking. You were just talking before the podcast, like we should do some episodes to talk more about who we are.
Yeah. I was thinking that because I've had a few people reach out to us and like want us to like talk about ourselves. But yeah, I was born in Maine. My parents were in the military, and they were stationed in Brunswick, Maine, which is just north of Portland, and that's how I got born. In Maine. I've been there a few times since then, but
cool.
I've never really lived there.
Okay. Good.
Good start. Great story.
Next. No, I actually like it. You've had an interesting life because then you lived from Maine to Spain.
Yeah. And
from Spain to Akron.
Are we going to do a Spain episode soon? Are we going to have a collaboration on Spain?
How cool that we are getting other podcasters involved with our podcast.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
We're getting involved with their podcasts.
Yep. Very fun.
This is true.
Season 2
community
is just super fun.
Maybe the most fun season yet. food.
So we're trying to be really conscientious of like mentioning some like great food places when we travel to these locations.
Sure.
Like I said, like, neither of us eat lobster or really shellfish, and I'm, to be truth be told, I have a fish intolerance. I can't really eat fish too much either, so I'm not going to be speaking on seafood. But when I looked up things to see in Portland and things to do in Portland, the first thing that came up was donuts, and I'm wondering if Google thought I was talking about Portland, Oregon, because Portland, Oregon's really well known for donuts. But there's this very famous, donut location in Portland, Maine called The Holy Donut. And it's a donut chain, like just a local Portland, Maine donut chain. So it's not going to be like a global chain or anything like that. But they're called The Holy Donut. And what makes them so special is their donuts are actually potato based. And they taste like they would be potato based. They were okay. Worth checking out.
I want to go next. In my Rockland, Maine city, there is a Rock City Coffee.
Ooh.
Just delicious. Nice coffee, great atmosphere, free Wi-Fi. Go there and, I don't know, get some blogging done after you've gone out for the day or before you go out for the day and see all the sights.
That was like one of my regrets with my stint in New England was that I waited way too long to visit Maine. I wish that I had visited there early and just taken a laptop and just gone up there to just write. Like, I don't even know, just like write anything.
Maybe your book.
Maybe my book. I do have a book.
Where did you write most of your book?
In Seattle, yeah. Yeah.
It's a cool place to write a book.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess I can always say, like, not only did I write a book, I wrote a book in Seattle. But there is a really cool coffee shop in Kennebunkport, and the name escapes me. I'll try and find it, but I think it's really, Kennebunkport is small enough. It's going to be like one of the only places that has coffee. But I just remember it, like the atmosphere there was just really cool and like very, very cafe like, very bring cool. a book, read or write sure. a book type vibe. But
right on.
The last restaurant that I want to mention is actually called Duck Fat. That's duck as in the bird and fat. And that's in Portland, Maine. And that's near the Commercial Street that I was talking about earlier, just north of it. And Duck Fat is a really great place to get some craft brewery, some local craft brewery from Portland and the surrounding areas within Maine. And it also has more of like a gastro or a bistro type feel to it. I got the Oaxacan style smoked brisket. So yeah, I had a Mexican style panini. But it was really, really tasty, and I really recommended it. Duck Fat is a really cool place to check out.
Yeah, it looks delicious. Tell us about the toll roads.
Yeah, so I think it's worth mentioning that like if you're coming from Boston and you're going into really Portland, I got hit by 3 toll roads. And if you don't have cash, you have to pay online. Like they don't take credit cards. They don't do. Yeah. You have to do the dishes. So I had to be real conscientious of like, by the time I got to like my destination, go to the ATM, get the cash and pay the now at this point, 6 toll roads, cause 3 on the way there and then 3 on the way back. Mm-hmm. And I think it totaled for around $40
okay.
between those 6 tolls. So round trips, like $40 in tolls, and they could have increased that since then, because I know they increased tolls like after COVID and stuff.
Okay. Pot is legal.
Hey. Pretty soon that's going to be like, okay, like every state is.
Yeah. Come on, dudes. Stephen King.
Yep.
Have you read any Stephen King books?
Have
you watched any?
I've watched a bunch of Stephen King stuff. Shout out to The Shining, my boy Kubrick.
Cool. Oh yeah, I've seen The Shining. Yeah. I have a cool Shining story.
Ooh, do tell.
I'm on an outdoor movie theater in downtown Athens at night, overlooking the Acropolis, which is lit up behind the screen, and they're playing The Shining with Greek subtitles.
That sounds amazing, and I am very jealous.
You could get liquor and popcorn.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like right up there. Have you heard of like the you watched Jaws?
Yeah.
On a like a pool float in like the lake or whatever. That sounds like so awful yet so awesome. Like one of those viewing experiences. I would say Jaws on a boat is right below your Shining experience.
Thanks, man. You have one last standby.
Oh, yeah, I do. I thought this was kind of interesting. I don't know. Maine used to be a part of Massachusetts, the state. So Maine is a part of the United States, but just as Massachusetts. And Maine was actually a really popular place for the colonists to go and get timber. And they actually used the timber from Maine to build the ground that went over the Charles River. If you remember our Boston episode, I talked about how a large portion of Boston is actually built on top of the Charles River. They kind of terraformed it. They did it with trees from Maine.
Wow.
And at a certain point, people in Maine were like, hey, we are exporting a lot of stuff. Like, we kind of want some representation. I believe that's kind of how the story went. And they became their own state in 1820. Mm. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Little history for you.
I love you being on this podcast that you bring these historical pieces that I would never think to talk about or remember.
Yeah, I know history is definitely not your thing. You're self-admitted.
Yeah.
I know you're like, here we go.
No, I get excited. I'm
kidding.
Do you think we did this state justice? Do you think we've wet people's whistles?
I hope. There's a lot to do in Maine. I wish that I had a chance to do more of it. That's probably my biggest regret living in New England, was that I didn't do enough in Maine.
So do you have any last tips or thoughts for people who are listening?
Yeah, take it serious. Take Maine serious. It's not something that you're kind of like, oh, okay, Maine. Maine is really cool. Like really cool. If you're into nature and hiking and canoeing, water sports, food, culture, like honestly, Maine's got a lot going for it. It's really cool.
One of my travel reps has a second house in Maine. That's awesome. What they chose. They're from the Midwest, I think, somewhere around here.
Okay.
But they were like, it's like, yeah, we're looking at doing the second house in Florida. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Well, we both love Maine. Why not do that?
Yeah. Very rarely are you going to get hit by a hurricane. That's a great point. You know, that's kind of nice.
Shout out to some new subscribers. We got Rachel, Wendy, David, Laura, and my new friend Amadeus.
Nice, man.
Yeah, he was named after the 1980s song Rock Me Amadeus. No joke.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's how he introduced himself to me. So thanks so much. We have new people listening and seem to enjoy the podcast.
Yeah.
How much does that just affirm you?
It's really cool. It's cool to know that it's not, like we've said this a few times, that it's not just family and friends listening. It's people that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot to us. We would love to shout you out. We would love to interact with you. If you have questions for us, if you have advice, if you have things that you want us to talk about or anything like that, we're available. We want to talk to you. We want to have this community with you. You can reach us on our website. There's a contact us page form there. You can fill it out and we'll see that question or whatever you want to say to us. Same thing on social media. You can reach out to us there. Or if it's easier for you, you can just email us. I have the email address in the description of this episode. And it means a lot for you guys to share us, to reach out to us, to leave reviews, in any form of engagement. I can't even begin to express how much it means to us.
Thanks for listening.
We're the Travel Agents. That's the end of our show. Make sure to comment and subscribe before you go. We're the Travel Agents. Thanks for listening. I'll book your trip, then pack your bag and do some travel.
2 minutes. I can't find a Zoom link though. Take your time.
Ooh, can we plug it in and chat with them?
I'm just trying to get on there.
Yeah, that'd be probably most important.